Lane bench. There's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's deadline day 2025. The trade deadline has come and gone. And we welcome you to this hour of Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg, Logan Gordon, along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. From a Calgary Flames standpoint, they do not do anything on deadline day, but I don't know if you can be surprised by that. That's the way this had been trending for the last, couple of weeks. Felt like this was going to be a quiet deadline, was a quiet deadline, but it was not. From the Flames standpoint, it was not a quiet deadline around the NHL. And to discuss that, we're joined now by our NHL insider, little bonus chat with Frank Saravalli, who is giving us an extra 10 to 12 minutes of consciousness on his day. And then he can go into a post-trade deadline coma. Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Amazon, and a whole lot more. Hello, Mr. Saravalli. How are we doing?
I was going to say, if it extends well beyond 12 minutes, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. So,
well,
we
promise we won't keep you too long, my friend. Hey, first of all, can we confirm this is Frank and not Frank? That's the most important.
Why was there a big Frank sighting today?
No, there wasn't. But that was still that's one of my favorites of all time is Frank Saravalli getting people on a fake Saravalli.
That's the best part is like, I'm not sure if I shared this with you or not, but there was a GM who had reached out to me and said, I saw one of the Franks and I had sent it out to my whole team. Like, holy smokes, look at this move. And then he's like, then I realized that it wasn't you.
That's hilarious. I love that. When those get people every once in a while, it makes me laugh. Hey, I guess what's your read on Calgary's deadline last 24 hours or so? They end up not making any moves. I'm just curious as to your take on that and kind of your read on how things went for the Flames leading up to the deadline.
I was a little surprised, to be honest, how the market shaped up. I thought in the end there would be more players available than teams that wanted to acquire them. And I thought that it would shift to a buyer's market. And I think that's what the Flames were anticipating as well, which was, hey, could we throw a fourth round pick at someone to get veteran presence help, a depth defenseman, whatever it might be. And that didn't materialize. And so the Flames had a real good sense of that yesterday. And so heading into today, they weren't expecting much. The only thing they were on the lookout for was, can we weaponize our cap space? Can we potentially use our cap space to broker a third party deal and get a pick back essentially for cash? They were willing to do it. They didn't find any their way into any of those deals. And so they end up with nothing, which I think in the end, if you were to grade it all out, like I'm like, yeah, let's give the Flames a B for the entire deadline period.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the trade with the Flyers for Frost and Farabee, I know the production hasn't been overwhelming to this point. And oddly enough, Kuzmenko ends up getting moved today from Philly, and he's had some of the better point production of the four players that were traded. But to be honest, like I think the Flames accomplished what they set out to achieve.
So you don't think they were close on anything today, hey?
No, I don't. In fact, I made some calls. And I got a message back saying, don't even bother calling. I won't waste your time. We're not doing anything.
I got the same message about 90 minutes before the deadline. Like, things could change, I guess, but like, we're not doing anything today. So that was kind of the same message I got from a Flame standpoint. And we talked about this on our Tuesday hit, Frank. Like, if they stand pat, it's not the worst thing in the world. And they've decided to send the message to the locker room that, hey, this is the group and go see what you can do in the final 20 games, right?
Yeah, I think what it sends is a message of belief. We believe in you that you can go out and do this. I mean, who watched the game against the Dallas Stars last night and thinks otherwise? I don't. That was a closely contested game. Obviously could have gone either way with one shot in OT. And that Dallas team is going to look different now, of course, with Mikko Rantanen in the fold. But all things considered, why can't the Dallas Stars seize that eighth spot? Why can't this be a team that defies the odds basically from start to finish this year, from their first five games out of the chute all the way through with 20-some left? It's been an unexpected story. It's been a team that was counted out from before they even arrived for training camp, and they're a team now that has a chance to do some damage.
That's the Flame story. Let's move to the biggest deal of the day, and wowza, it is a blockbuster. Mikko Rantanen rocketed to the top of your trade targets board in the final 24, 48 hours before the deadline, as Carolina went from "we'll take our chances" to "okay, we're not going to get this done. We're going to move him." And they end up moving him to Dallas. A contract is in place, 8x12. They get Stankoven and two firsts in return. Just, can you give us the kind of synopsis of how this got from Rantanen in Carolina to 13 games later, Rantanen signed long-term with the Dallas Stars?
Well, the Carolina Hurricanes, in the meantime, had enough that they had seen in conversation from teams to kind of make the decision that they were going to go down the rabbit hole and make a swap. It was in part because of the – I think, you know, it's always tough to put yourself in the player's shoe, but I think they got not just a non-committal answer, but in the end a no, that we won't be re-signing with you. And I think that's what kind of helps push it along, that, you know, if the Canes were holding out hope that that could be a place that over a 4-month period of time with a deep playoff run that they could convince Rantanen, that might have been a different story. And I do think that in the end, there's certainly a feeling among the Canes fan base and probably even internally within their own front office that today is a disappointing day, because we could net out what they ended up getting and what they started with. But the truth and the fact of the matter is they went from Marty Natchez to Mikko Rantanen to Logan Stankoven. And I'm a Logan Stankoven fan. I think he could be an impactful piece. But that said, no one and very few players in this league in general are Mikko Rantanen. And so that part is certainly going to be tough for the Carolina Hurricanes to stomach when they have two additional first round picks, two additional third round picks, and all their, you know, they never traded their first to begin with to get Rantanen, and all of their top prospects, including Nikishin, who's expected to make his debut later this season if the Canes are playing long enough into June. But this was a pretty quick turn, in the sense that I do think for a large chunk of this week, the Canes were thinking about rolling the dice and decided in the end that this was the much safer play.
He's Frank Saravalli. He's our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us on Flames Talk on deadline day 2025. It's Pat and Logan. Logo?
Frank, you think the Colorado Avalanche are at all perturbed that Mikko Rantanen ends up in division and there for the next 8 years?
They won't say it publicly, Logo, but I would bet money on it that they are. When you make a trade with a team, when you trade a player of that magnitude, I'm sure the first thing you're thinking is that team's going to hang on to that player. And the other part is I think they're probably perturbed at a whole bunch of things. One is that. Two is that they made this trade before they ended up knowing what the salary cap numbers are. You know, I think it'd be real interesting to debate not just what the Carolina Hurricanes netted through all of this, but if you rewind back to the Colorado Avalanche pre-Mikko Rantanen trade, would you rather have Rantanen or would you rather have Brock Nelson and Charlie Coyle?
Yeah.
And by the way, like, I think the Cal Ritchie part needs to be pointed out. Like, a can't miss prospect that I think is one of the smartest players not playing in the NHL. So would you rather Rantanen, Mittelstadt, and Cal Ritchie? Or would you rather Charlie Coyle and, oh my God, my brain is so fried. Charlie Coyle, Brock Nelson, and Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah, Ryan
Lindgren. And Marty Natchez.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a toss up. It'd be a great debate. We could probably do a half hour just on that. But nonetheless, now the Canes have nightmare fuel. Not only have you, or the Avs, not only have you improved your team, you think, but oh, by the way, you've got to go up against, you know, your old foe on a Dallas team that over this deadline period undoubtedly gotten better.
Yeah, it's going to be something really interesting to watch in division there for the next little while. Maybe in the first round of the playoffs, if everything works out between those two teams. Toronto Maple Leafs are also busy today, Frank. Brandon Carlo and Scott Laughton come in. Both of those guys with term, but it winds up costing Brad Treliving a couple of first-round picks and prospect Fraser Minton. What did you make of the price that Toronto paid to maybe keep up with Tampa Bay and the Florida Panthers?
There's no doubt that it was high, but I think from a stylistic fit, I'm a big believer in what Brandon Carlo brings, the size, the nature of his game to be a true defender is just exactly what that team needed. I'm less convinced on the Scott Laughton part of it. I've watched his game really closely in Philadelphia for the last 10 plus years, and he's such a well-liked guy, but he's a third line center. And if he's not a center, then he's a winger because the Flyers have also used him there a lot. And that team really needed a true probably upgrade on that position. And they brought in a different look. I'd be curious to see how much of a difference it is. And so when you weigh the thing, like everything out, that said, I think this current iteration of the Leafs, meaning even before these two trades went down today, I think that was the best iteration that we've seen in the last 6 years. I think their goaltending is the best that it's been with Tanev and Ekman Larson. Their defense core is the best that it's been. And oddly enough, they've done it all in a year in which Austin Matthews, by his own standards, has been relatively average, has had a down year. So you make these changes, you give your team a fighting chance against Florida, who got significantly better with Seth Jones and Marchand. And then you go up against the Tampa Bay Lightning and the way that they improved. Like it's going to be an all out war in the first round. And I can tell you that all three of these teams over the next 6 weeks are going to put in a valiant effort to try and win the division and avoid carnage in round one.
Last one for you, just really quickly. How jarring is it going to be for Brad Marchand to return to Boston next Tuesday?
Well, he's actually going to be out for a few weeks, Logo. He's still got that injury.
Right.
So that's one part of the deal that I think really everyone was saying, hey, why is this such a small return, a conditional second-round pick that could become a first? Why did the Bruins not get more for such a critical part of their team? Well, for one, I think they wanted to do Brad Marchand a solid and send him to a place that he wanted to be. And two, he is basically going to miss, if not the entirety of the remainder of the regular season, then a vast chunk of it. So he's going to have a limited time aside from sliding right into playoffs, and he's going to miss that game in Boston, which would be and would make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up just thinking about what that would be like to be in the building for that. But in the end, I said it on our show today, but like the king rat goes to the home of the rats. So it's kind of a match made in heaven. If you think about it, you know, old friend Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk, and put those guys together on one line and it makes your head explode.
Yep.
Well, now I have no reason to watch that game next week, but I'll stay tuned for the playoffs.
Look, I'll ask you this, and sure, you guys feel free to debate it. Which is the more unholy trade deadline help? Is it the Panthers helping the Bruins helping the Panthers with Marchand, or the Bruins helping the Leafs with Carlo?
It has to be your captain, right? Not that I'm with you. I like Carlo, but that feels icky that Brad Marchand's a Panther, as much as it's going to be fun to watch.
Bruin fans are losing their minds because not only did you trade your captain, but you didn't get a huge return, and it's to that place, and you really waved the white flag on what this team could be probably for the next few years, also moving out Charlie Coyle, a Boston kid himself. It is a lot out the door today in Boston.
Yep. Get out of here, Frank. Appreciate the bonus chat. Go get some sleep here. I was watching the Saravalli Insider Cam at different times today. I think you deserve a nap. Get out of here.
Or a bottle of something really strong,
yeah,
Frank.
Nice Glenlivet.
Yeah, 18. I got a couple more things to get through later, and then if we're going to rank, like, best beers ever, like, there's, like, airport beers and beach beers and beers after a hockey game, I'm going to say, like, locker room beers, they'd be on the list. But I'm going to say post-trade deadline beer, that's going to be, like, it's definitely in the top five.
That's what I like to hear. Get after it. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
See you guys.
Frank Saravalli, he's from Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Amazon, and more. He is our NHL insider. Little bonus Frank, not Frank, on this trade deadline Friday. Thanks to Frank Saravalli for joining us here on our trade deadline coverage. Our trade deadline coverage is underway on this Friday, March 7th, and it is brought to you by our four great sponsors, including Eastside Dodge. 2024 Jeep clearance sales on now. Receive invoice pricing on all remaining 2024 Jeeps. Go to eastsidedodge.com. And tell them Lanny sent you.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Flames Talk on this Friday, March 7th, deadline day 2025 continues. Our trade deadline coverage brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. 960-960 text lines open to you. It's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you. Flames Talk available wherever you get your podcast. We're asking you, what did you think of the Flames at the deadline? And the Flames didn't do anything at the deadline. No deals today, Logo. The Flames end up making zero trades on deadline day. That's two trade deadline days for Craig Conroy where he's made one move, and Nikita Ochocinc is the only guy he's brought in. Now, last year, that's a bit of a cherry pick because last year he traded, what, Tanev like a week and a half before the deadline and Hanifin like Hanifin 2 days before the deadline. So it was essentially
day.
The deadline.
Nikita Ochocinc, forever a Flame. I remember you and me both sitting there in the hot stove lounge going, how the hell do you pronounce that name?
Well, at first we were saying Ochocinc.
Ochocinc.
And we went with Ochocinc, and then Conroy said it differently. He was like, Ochocinc. We're like, okay, well, Conroy would, and then we finally got it. It's Ochocinc.
He's still Flames property, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
They held on to him.
Indeed they did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an opinion one way or another of actually getting anything done on deadline day, especially when both years, most of the heavy lifting, at least in the first 2 years of Conroy's tenure, came beforehand.
Yeah.
So, I again, as Francis mentioned with us earlier, sometimes you get caught up in the momentum of the day and you start seeing maybe other teams around you are doing and you start panicking or thinking about that. None of that happened for the Flames. It's not like the Flames were looking there and saying, man, the Canucks got drastically better. Or, you know, the Blues did this. Or the hockey club did this. It was just kind of a good day to sit. I'm sure you take some phone calls, you make a couple and check on a couple of things, but nothing wrong with sitting out what was a very interesting trade deadline on this Friday.
Let's get to the text line at 960-960. Sid in Northeast Calgary, not happy about what the Flames did. What has the Flames organization accomplished from their 89 Cup run until 04 and then 04 until now? Nothing. What have they accomplished? They're a non-competitive team, middle of the pack, and they keep saying they believe in themselves and staying the course. It's not getting the team anywhere. Clean house, blow up the team, and make it competitive. This is why players don't want to come play here. Well, again, like they've said, that's not what they're doing. Craig Conroy, look, they're not blowing it up. That is never, that has been messaged right from May 2023 when Craig Conroy took over. But I will say his active approach in making this team younger has, I think, done a pretty good job bearing fruit. And I keep saying, Logo, for all these, like, the Flames haven't done anything and Craig Conroy hasn't done, they're not bad enough. Craig Conroy, in the span of like 6 months, traded Tyler Toffoli, Nikita Zadorov, Elias Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, and Chris Tanev, and in the span of a year, add on Andrew Mangiapane and Jacob Markstrom, and in all seven of those cases, never brought back a player of the same caliber as the player going out, at least when it comes to their immediate impact, and in every case, also got younger and got futures. Like, what more would you like him to do? I was like, well, you got to trade Kadri and Coleman and Huberdeau and Uyghur too. I mean, at some point, you need to have a team.
They're $4 million above the cap floor. They are $18 million away from the limit. They had $82 million in deadline cap space to go. He spent his entire summer. The acquisitions that came back, Kevin Ball, it's been a great add, and it looks like a future foundational piece on the back end. They did so moving on from Jacob Markstrom. The big free agent ad was Anthony Mantha, which may or may not have been a piece around this trade deadline. We won't ever know how that worked out, but it was a one-year low-risk salary of $3.5 million that you're just going to walk away from in the offseason and not worry about. It fits the MO. This was a team that's been, again, propped up by some really outstanding goaltending from Dustin Wolf and put them in a position that I don't even think they expected to be in. They're not anywhere near, like, they're doing this almost $20 million under the cap. They are presenting to you everything that they said they were. If Craig Conroy had come out, Pat, and said, we're tearing this thing down to the studs, everybody and everything is available and on the table for us, and we were sitting here today, I'd probably feel different about it too. But that was never discussed. And again, you can disagree with that. That's fine. But I don't know how you would be surprised that we are where we are today based on everything that Craig has said. I really don't know how you would be there.
Yep.
Has 62 games changed what you feel about this team and how you think they should go about their business that much?
Yep.
This is year one of a plan. Year one, not everything's done in year one. All of last year was pretty much a wipe the slate
clean.
That
was a custodial year.
Exactly. So this is year one of the plan to be there when the new arena comes, to be a contender there. Not everything has to get done this year.
Yep.
There's still time for it to happen. I get we're not patient. I totally understand that. But it doesn't all have to be built this year for the Calgary Flames.
Jake writes, what's the vision for improving tomorrow? Coronado and Zeri, while Kadri and Huberdeau age out, is not going to compete with the teams now in the West, like Colorado, Dallas, and Edmonton, nor the teams of tomorrow, like San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago. It's tough for a Flames fan to see mediocrity celebrated. Flames look mid today and mid tomorrow. As guys who cover the teams, what do you say to that take? To me, it seems the messaging has always been consistent. Just get in, and that's a bad message. That comes from Jake. Well, I go back to what we were just talking about in terms of the trades that we just rolled through that Craig Conroy has completed in the last year or so. And also, like, let the guy cook. He's talked ad nauseum about getting younger. He has kept true to that word.
Which they've done.
And, like, Zane Parekh just hit 100 points on Thursday night in the OHL. He became the first OHL defenseman since Ryan Ellis to hit 100 points. He's the second OHL defenseman to score 30 goals in back-to-back. Third OHL defenseman to... Sorry.
You were right.
Okay. Second OHL defenseman...
I was trying to do a 30 thing to you, and it looks stupid.
Okay. Second OHL defenseman to score 30 goals in back-to-back years. Like, okay, so you've got Dustin Wolf, who looks like he's going to be a franchise goaltender. You have a potential franchise D-man in Zane Parekh. You've got some really exciting talent coming, whether it be Matvei Gridin or Jacob Battaglia or Andrew Bacha or Henry Muse or Etienne Moran or Hunter Brustevich. You've got guys like Connor Zary and Matt Coronato right now. I mean, I get that right now they're in the middle. They are. They're a mid-team right now on March 7th, 2025. But with what's coming and the draft picks that they have in the hopper, Jake, can you not let them cook and let's see where it goes? And I know they're not blowing it up like some people want, but can we at the very least see where this team goes from a guy who has a pretty clear plan in mind, has messaged what that plan is, and has done a pretty good job of making his moves in line with the parameters he's laid out there? That's kind of what I would say to that, Jay, because I get it that they've been a team that has been embroiled or a franchise that has been stuck in mediocrity for decades. But this is a very different direction than they've taken in quite some time. Brad Treliving took it in that direction for like a year, and then swerved back onto a win now course. That I don't think is happening here. Like, let's see how things play out here over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
And they also weren't ever going to be in the same. This isn't the time for them to be the Dallases, the Colorados of the world, and making those kind of moves today.
Yeah.
That was never the plan. Regardless of the fact that they've found themselves around a playoff spot 62 games in the season, they were never at that point. They're not hoping to be at that point right now, but you play the cards that are dealt to you.
Yep.
Craig can't change anything about what's happened on the ice. He just has to react or not react to those results.
Yep.
You don't have to love that, but that's what he's doing.
Yep. What do we got here on the text line 96960? Great to hear from all of Conroy's assistants today. None of us were in the room and know what transpired. Let the man cook. This says, This says, no concern with the deadline from a Flame standpoint. More value this summer anyways. That comes from Brad in Airdrie. Ken in Calgary says, I've enjoyed watching this year's team way more than any of the last five. Culture is about accountability and busting your ass. Conroy's working a great plan. This from Colton, who says, I think Flames fans are used to the GM making a trade for the sake of making a trade. So when nothing is happening with Conroy, it's just a bunch of people confused and screaming. I think it's the right call. You're fools to believe this is a playoff team. Don't waste your assets. What else we got here at 960? Just some of these aren't on topic, so I'm just making sure that you got to sift through them on the fly. This reads from Ray. It's nice to complain about what the Flames didn't do. Oh, how 6 months makes everyone a GM. We were picked last by all the experts. That comes from Ray. This says, I would have liked to see the Flames get a high draft pick, but that's clearly not happening. They are where they are by playing hard, and what does that teach the young guys? Another thing is, how much does the playoffs help in development? That comes from Randy. Other thing on that front, Logo, is that on top of them getting experience by being in the playoffs or in a playoff race or whatever, also, who's the main reason for why they are where they are?
Dustin Wolf.
How old is Dustin Wolf?
23.
Who is the most promising player for the future in the Flames organization in your mind?
Zane Parekh.
You
want to keep going with the Wolf thing?
I was hoping you were
going
to see Dustin
Wolf. Okay, well, Wolf.
Okay, who is one of the two most exciting players in the Flames organization?
Dustin Wolf.
Thank you. Like, does that not in some ways counter the, oh, we're going to be mediocre forever? This is the year we were supposed to be bad. Does it not give you a little bit of solace that 23-year-old franchise, potential franchise core piece, Dustin Wolf, is the main reason or one of the main reasons why they are where they are this year? Does that not help balance it a little bit in your mind? And I'm asking that rhetorically, But I that is another counter that I would have to the whole conversation.
You're not wrong. I've had this conversation before, and with you and with other people on this station. Go through the list of goaltenders that they tried to make work here in Calgary. It's a long one. Mason McDonald, Tyler Parsons, Yoni Orteo. I'm sure I'm missing a thousand of them.
Leland Irving.
This franchise, for as poorly as they've been able to draft and develop a true superstar and maybe specifically one down the middle, Pat, they've almost been equally inept at trying to find a goaltender to take the reins. So maybe it's unfortunate timing in some people's mind that Dustin Wolf has come onto the scene right when they were trying to retool this thing a little bit. But that in and of itself is a win for the organization. If this thing is going to get where they wanted to get to in a couple years, you're going to need a goaltender. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big piece of the puzzle that you have to figure out. And if Dustin is that guy, which we think he is by all accounts, that should be a big weight off of a lot of people's shoulders.
Yep. This reads, Calgary made trades, just not today. Today's simply the last day they had to do so. It doesn't mean they weren't active. People like to see big trades on deadline day because they're fun, but that's not a reason necessarily to do so. Grant in BC says, very happy with the deadline. Reward the boys for how hard they've worked. And tell Francis to unblock me on Twitter. See what I can do. This says, this is as disappointed as I've been with Conroy. Frustrating to watch guys like Richie, Cousins, and Stankoven get moved, and the Flames are nowhere to be seen. I'm not disappointed in them not acquiring anything. That's silly, but missing out on the under-24 group being moved and none to Calgary is a serious mistake and depressing as a fan.
Yeah, can I just say, look what it took to acquire those guys.
Who is Mikko Rantanen on the Flames? Where is Mikko Rantanen? That's what it took to get Stankoven, was Mikko Rantanen. What player on the Flames is Mikko Rantanen?
There isn't one.
I know that.
There isn't one. I'm not telling you. You know that.
Who is the young center that the Flames could have traded to Buffalo to get Dylan Cousins?
They don't have one, or they would have done it.
And who, I mean, who is the pending UFA to Colorado to bring back Callum Ritchie? And like the pending UFA 30 goal scorer to trade to Colorado to get back Cal Ritchie. They don't have that guy.
I don't have it.
So I don't understand that leap is all.
I'm sure Conroy would have loved any of those guys.
Yeah.
Spend money to make money.
This from Darren in Innisfail. The latest road trip where they played some elite teams show how far away they are from being a contender. A contending team is not walking with a 500 road trip. Ride the wave, and if they get into the playoffs, great, but they're more than one big move away from being a contender. Glad they stood, Pat. Matt from Calgary says, the Flames should sell standing Pat t-shirts with your picture on them. I'd buy one. You'd be the only person buying that, I think.
I'd buy one. Different reasons. Yeah,
you
though.
Might as well, too. I'd like
Shan that. Probably would.
He wouldn't. He does not like me. Zach in Airdrie says, I love that Conroy did nothing at the deadline. He's not into veteran rentals right now, and he definitely doesn't want to give up prospects or draft picks to get him. That just doesn't jive with the long-term plan. They have an incredible balance of veterans and young players. The system is working. Let's ride this. Great stuff so far on the text line. We'll try to read some more as we continue here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg, Logan Gordon this hour on Flames Talk. Shan Virgie, Cam Hughes, our outstanding producers, and our trade deadline coverage on Flames Talk is brought to you by our friends at All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 38 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs. Anything that swings, slides, or rolls, visit allkinddoorservices.com.